And can you feel this love tonight? Hey, guys.
What's up, Jesse?
Could y'all see me?
Howdy, yeah.
All right, that's great. Thank you for coming.
Of course.
We're about to get rolling. You ready?
Yeah, I don't know what this is, but I am. Whatever it is, I'm down.
I don't know what it is either. We just do our best with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have some fun.
Oh yeah, can we? I forget. Can we swear? For this program, can I completely forget.
Yeah. Welcome to The Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. The Father's Day is on Patreon. So click the Patreon link to support our work. I absolutely appreciate it. I have with me today two very interesting guys. I don't know how this is going to go, but I think you will enjoy it. Vosh of the Vosh YouTube channel and Elijah Schaefer of Blaze Media and Slightly Offensive YouTube channel. Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it.
Very happy to be here.
So which one of you are the far left liberal radical?
I think that's probably me. I'll take that hit.
That's you.
Yeah, I would say there's probably not a lot of far left radicals working for Blaze TV.
Oh, okay. Oh,
not that you know of.
Okay. Not that I know of. No, exactly. Maybe Dave Rubin. Who knows? But I'm just kidding.
We got plants everywhere.
So I want to talk to you guys about Antifa, George Floyd, and all the stuff that's happening. But Vosh, for those who don't know you, how did you become so far left and liberal and beta?
The Marxist University professors, they got to me. Seriously, the real story, when I was in high school, I made a real nice friend. She was from Brazil. She had a lot of different life experiences. I grew up kind of in a bubble. Talking with her helped me realize there was a lot of bad stuff going on around the world that I wasn't really aware of. When I got older, there were some professors who helped me put a name to my concerns. They helped me recognize there are systems of oppression and ways to analyze that oppression, little ways that we can help. Since then, I guess I've just slid a little further to the left, made myself a YouTube channel, and happy to be where I am now.
Amazing. And Elijah, do you consider yourself a Republican conservative or just conservative?
You know, actually, not really either. And it's not just the rejection of a title. I would call myself a California conservative because in a lot of ways, I believe in conserving certain constitutional liberties. I believe in a very literal interpretation of the Constitution. But growing up 27 years in Los Angeles, I will say even Glenn Beck was surprised. He's like, "You have transgender friends?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. They're Trump supporters too." So I think I've become a little more tolerant of giving people their own individual liberty to express themselves the way they want to, but also understanding that if we push certain ideas on our culture, I think it's just a bad idea long term.
Oh, I see. So Blaze Media is, and you're also known as Slightly Offensive. Is that Glenn Beck's network?
Well, Glenn Beck really has nothing to do with it anymore. People get confused on that because Blaze Media is a parent company, and then Blaze TV, he's not really in charge of that. There's quite a bit of creators now, but they merged with CRTV. He's got Mark Levin, Steven Crowder, Lauren Chen. We have Chad Prather, myself, Ali Beth Stuckey. So just a lot of people. So it's okay. Pretty wide variety.
Okay. And when you say you have transgender friends, do you hang out with them?
I used to in Los Angeles. I've even done some content with them.
What kind of content? Let's clear that up.
Well, there was one transgender named Dickini. That's Dickini. And they have the name Dickini because they wear a bikini made out of dicks.
Oh.
I respect the hell out of that.
And So when you hang out with transgenders, that just mean men who dress like women, but they haven't had the surgery and all that, right?
Well, I mean, hanging out is a very interesting word. I just know them through work, right? Most of my friends are through work. It's not like I'm just going out to the local tea club and sipping on a cup with my local drag friends. But and then one of them's name's Jocelyn. Jocelyn Flawless. Why do transgenders always have names like that?
Because they're so perverted.
Hey, if you got to pick your own name, you got to go hard, right? I mean, no point sticking with, with the basics, not the first page of the baby book names. No, you got to go out there.
That's Vosh. What does Vosh mean?
Yeah, what does Vosh mean? I was going to ask the same thing.
It's just an anglicized version of a German name from a character that I drew when I was a kid. Literally just like childhood scrapbook memory. Like, this will make a good channel name. Why not?
Oh, I see. Vosh, do you support Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all those people?
Yes, I do, to varying degrees.
Do you know that Black Lives Matter is a far left liberal radical group that was started by radical black lesbians, fat black lesbians?
I'd heard all those rumors. It's what got me amped up to them for the most part.
Really? And what do you think about all the rioting and looting that they are doing and have done in America? Is that the right thing to do?
I think the rioting and looting isn't good. But I think we have to recognize, if we look through history, it's an inevitable product of a pent-up agitation that can't be expressed in other ways. As MLK said, you know, riots are the language of the unheard, or, you know, the last gasp of the unheard. I don't think they're good. I think we should make every effort to prevent there from being riots and looting in the future, which means addressing the problems that lead to those riots. Most, by the way, of these demonstrations are quite peaceful. It's like with BLM back in 2014, 2015, like the vast majority are peaceful protests, and then some of them get rowdy.
And so every time I see Antifa on the streets, they're hiding their faces, and they are very destructive and radical. If they believe that what they're doing is the right thing, why do they hide their faces?
Several prominent members of Antifa, several prominent protesters have been doxxed, targeted, and sometimes even murdered by far-right paramilitary groups in the past. After that, they developed the habit of hiding their faces. It's an effective tactic for avoiding reprisal. I can't say I necessarily blame them after what's happened to some of their compatriots.
Elisha, do you support Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all those people?
That's a good question. Well, number one, I don't support the organization Black Lives Matter. I think it's a deceptive title for an organization because it kind of sets you up to either A, agree Black Lives Matter, or B, be a complete a-hole and a racist. But Black Lives Matter is like a militant, far-left, Western deconstructive organization. I mean, they're pretty open on their website about trying to stop heteronormativity, aka push the queer kid stuff. They don't believe in the nuclear family. They want to run things based on tribes. I mean, I've read a lot of their bios too, and their support for abortion, etc. I don't think it aligns a lot with black people. A lot of black people I know and I've met and I've seen tend to actually hold policy wise a lot of conservative ideas in general, but obviously they vote Democrat. And I think BLM is much further left, and people don't realize that organization is really a genuine. Like genuine far left organization, which some people might love it even more. But and then Antifa, I mean, it's hard for me to know because it's not really like a linear hierarchical group. You know, I mean, for most of the time, people always ask me on the ground, like, was that person Antifa or Antifa? And then they argue, is it Antifa, Antifa? It's like, dude, look, I think it's just more like a horizontal organization with an idea. There are more organized groups. But, you know, here in Dallas, a kid wearing a black scarf. I wore a black scarf at the riot too. Am I Antifa because I put on a scarf? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know really. I don't know. I just know in Portland and Seattle, they're a lot more organized, and I've seen them, you know, and DC too. So
what does it mean, Black Lives Matter? Elisha, it doesn't seem to have any meaning. It doesn't mean anything. What is it supposed to mean?
Yeah. You know, I've heard of quite a few, I think it's like a kind of a kiss up to be accepted, to tell people like black lives, like we should be accepted into whatever system you want. But it confuses me too, because it's also trying to destroy the system and reimagine it. So it's like, do you want to be accepted into the current system, or do you want to destroy the system? And are you saying that only within a new system will black lives actually matter? But I think that, you know, your value has to come from, you know, you tell your own value. You don't need, society or what you call white people versus people of color to accept you.
Right.
If you're black, you're valuable as an individual, as a human being. And there are certain definitely limits and limitations that come with being black, for sure, 100% culturally. I would say most of them are culturally in the black culture itself, not the system that's preventing them. But I think that Black Lives Matter just already puts that weird victim mindset in black communities that already, like, we don't matter to the world, when in reality, most people really have no problem with black people at all.
What do you say?
I'd like
to
jump in on that.
Yeah, go ahead. Jump in.
Yeah. So as fun as it is to call them like a radical far left organization, most of the
radical far left organization founded by fat black lesbian, worse than the KKK.
That As fun as it may be to call it that, it's pretty much just like a progressive organization. The stuff that you said, like fighting heteronormativity, I mean, that literally just means like preventing homophobia, acknowledging the fact that like gay couples can have kids or like adopt kids and have a healthy lifestyle. They fight for like racial justice and equality. Most of their platform positions, the Black Lives Matter organization, really are just boilerplate progressive ideas that have been more or less accepted commonly by about half of this country and in most of our country's educational institutions. So I don't think they're like, as speaking as an anarchist, I can say very concretely, I know for a fact the Black Lives Matter organization is not like far left. But they're good. And with regard to what you just said there, I think that Elijah, your sort of comments there kind of reify the reason why they call themselves Black Lives Matter. You said that Black people have problems culturally, but not institutionally. I won't deny that there are issues with Black culture, but institutionally, pretty much every available piece of data we have, including analyses and meta-analyses done by the federal government, confirm that there are indeed racial biases committed against Black individuals in this country in our criminal justice system. And that's just to begin with. The famous study done to show that if you have a Black name, you're much less likely to get hired. Studies done in the way people treat one another and inherent racial bias and in-group differences. These are all really well-studied phenomena. To deny these things, to tacitly deny reality, none of these are controversial sociological opinions, kind of suggests you have a motivated reason. There's a bias which drives you to deny the facts around like Black people and their mistreatment. And that does kind of make it seem like you think Black lives matter less. And I think that's the gist of what the movement is trying to get at. It's not just fighting against KKK members. That's easy. You know, we get it. They have the hoods. We know they hate Black people. It's the subtle and pervasive ways Black people's lives are made more difficult by systems that are extremely tough to reform without concrete action.
Yeah, you know, no, I'll say, well, real fast, sorry, Jesse, I'm just going to say, you know, that the case that you're making is one that can seem difficult to refute because you go, well, I mean, yeah, there are empirical studies that do show the certain implicit bias, but it's not exactly the system itself. It's not the certain law or this or that. It's like when you look at someone like, for instance, I've had a lot of Black friends who've talked to me about, you know, getting racially profiled. But then you look specifically why people racially profile somebody. So when you look at crime stats, disproportionate amount of certain crimes based on the population density. Well, some of these biases and things develop based off of truth, and others of them don't. Some of them actually would be just cultural. But racism to me is a pride issue, and it's an issue because when you take down the skin, down to the heart, we are all the same. And people that feel like they're better than other people without giving them a chance, just because they have a skin color, or assuming that they just, you know, are obliged or more likely, let's say, to default on a loan for a home because they're Black. Well, you have to really look in that area, in that region, and see, well, what is the turnover rate with credit scores and with people based off of race? And why did people develop these intrinsic biases? Why do they exist in our society? I am never going to deny the fact that I think that Black people very often are racially profiled specifically, but also I've had Black friends who came from, you know, a married couple. They were socioeconomically doing well for themselves, especially friends that I had that immigrated directly from Africa, and they were kind of racist towards American Blacks too. And Nigerians are notoriously racist towards American Blacks. Well, which shows you that it's not the color of skin.
I wouldn't call it racist. Yeah, the Black in America don't like anyone who does well in life. And so the Blacks in America are jealous and envious of the Blacks who come from South Africa. I mean, from Africa, period. And they say, oh, you think you're better than us, because Blacks in America are losers and they're jealous of anyone who succeeds.
Well, I can't speak to the turf war going on between African Americans and African Blacks, but the existence of intra-racial biases does not negate the existence of biases against the African-American community. It sounds to me like you're almost implicitly justifying the treatment that Black Americans get by saying, well, hey, even Black Africans treat them that way, too.
No, that's bullshit. That's not what I'm saying.
Wait. Well, that's what I read from your statement, but let me finish. If that's not the case, then that's fine. That's just what it sounded like to me. But you say it's not systemic, it's not law. I agree. Most laws in the book are pretty racially neutral. Maybe there are some edge case exceptions. It's more about very long-standing economic and social disenfranchisements, which compound into an existing bias today. For example, racial profiling. It's true, Black people commit more crime. per capita in this country than white people. So if you're going to create a profile for what the average criminal is in many cities, that person is probably going to look black, or at least they're going to be more black than is average for the demographics of that area. The issue is, if that's the profile cops use as the average criminal, they're going to disproportionately stop, search, arrest, or violate the rights of people who match that profile, which puts more people in jail than would be proportionally necessary. And whatever issues you had with the crime in that area get worse, because you cycle through the next generation of black Americans, not fixing the problems that caused the criminality, but only using bias as a justification to arrest them at higher rates.
You've been brainwashed. All of that's not true. Yes, they are racially profiled because they are black in many cases. That's because black people commit most of the violent crimes, and when they are stopped, they give the cop attitude. And when they are stopped, they give attitude. They don't follow the instructions of the cop. And most of them are criminals, so they are trying to prevent getting arrested again. You don't have the decent blacks acting that way in the most of the time, but
When I speak of disproportionate, I mean relative to their criminality, not just relative to their population. So when they're disproportionately arrested, I don't mean, well, they commit more crimes, so obviously. I'm saying even with the amount of crime that they commit, they still get arrested more. And when this bias isn't just with the police, it's also with the juries, the judges, the sentencing, the prison sentences.
But they're trained to act that way, though. They're trained to not act decent. They're trained to not trust a cop.
While there may well be differences in the average behavior of people in different racial groups, yes, that explanation does not explain the huge disparity there is in the criminal justice system.
Can I ask you something, Vosh? Because you're a really intelligent guy, and I can tell you think through things. And I'll be completely honest. You were mentioning earlier, I just moved. I am jumping from state to state at the moment. I'm in and out of a lot of things, and so I didn't even know really what this was, but I am very happy that you're on here, because I kind of want to bring up like this weird plate of there being almost two things that can be true at the same time, but also asking you, well, which meal will actually give you the nutrition that will last long term? And when you look at the problem of saying, okay, yeah, there is racially profiling, and so then they police, but it's still not bringing any blame back to the black community of going,
right,
well, but you're committing, like I don't mind looking at the police and these things, but because the movements don't equally look at the real issue. So it's like, if we say Black Lives Matter, they go, well, you know, yeah, sure. You know, people go, you know, if your house is not on fire and their house is on fire, why are you bringing up your house too? Because their house needs the fire to be put out. And I'm like, sure, the black community's house is on fire, but it's not on the flames. It's like a spark is the police. But the main issue is internal. And when you go internal, you might actually find the real issues. Like, we might actually end up agreeing more, because when you go internal and you go, okay, so why are black people killing each other? Like 92% of these homicides are black on black. Why is there an attrition towards joining gangs in certain neighborhoods in Chicago? Why is there this inability that the black community tells you when someone gets educated or begins to become eloquent or collegiate, that it's like, oh, why are you talking like a white person rather than why are you talking like a civilized, developed person in the Western world? Why is that intrinsic? Why are there ebonics? Why is the rap culture glorify things that are, when you look at it, are going to destroy individuals' lives? And if you go in there and you start to see systems in play, okay, well, this school and that school, and there's funding here and there, I'm totally down for that. And I would love to look at ways that things can be reformed. But I think the weird part about it is that there's this external blame that all of black people's problems are because of these systems that are not being reformed. And it's not only anti-Western, it's anti-Christian. And it's not really, I don't believe it's what this country was built upon.
Absolutely.
Which is this need as an individual to take responsibility for your own life. And I think that's what's been happening is more and more. I don't doubt any of the wrongs done against black people in this country. But you know, what's really interesting is that when you look today, right now, the conversation is not a balanced conversation.
Right.
You have idiots on the right who are just saying, well, the black people need to fix themselves. And you have idiots on the left going, it's the systems. Well, what if it's a combination of the two? And if you ignore either part and you don't find a synergy together, then you're never going to come to a solution. Because if you always cast off towards reform, outward reform, you're going to just end up fat and unhappy, or you're just going to end up just some pansexual person with no position or direction, which is fine. I don't mind. I don't care where you put your dick, but
okay,
you know,
we've got a lot to go over here. I don't know what social reform has to do with pansexuality. Yes.
Let me ask this before you respond. Mm-hmm. Isn't it nice to hear a logical white man speaking the truth without fear?
I hear a white man logically speaking the truth without fear every day I boot up my stream, Jesse.
Who is that? The Hake Report? Would you listen to the Hake Report?
I speak of myself, Jesse.
The Hake Report guy has some questions for you guys in a minute here, but I want to get this in.
We have to address these. So this idea that there's no system for addressing the problems in the black community or that people aren't doing this is just wrong. Nobody acknowledges it, but it's happening. There have been myriad summits done on black and black violence, black leaders, including who's that one every conservative hates? He worked with
but they always blame the white man when they have
these are intra-racial conferences where they talk about what they can do to address their own community
but
biases.
They still blame the whites.
Gangster rap, for example, was very big on adulating criminality and anti-police sentiment, but the biggest consumers of gangster rap were white suburban teenagers. 82% back in 1993, when it was at its height, 82% of music sales done for gangster rap, the genre, were done in white suburbia, and the record labels that were pushing this music were largely run by white men. That doesn't mean black people didn't produce that music, but it means that the context in which these cultural tendencies are being developed are not ones exclusive to the black community. Why black and black crime? Well, largely because of the drug war and because black gangs fight over each other for turf to defend the drug.
No, because they have no moral character. They're full of hate. They have not been raised by good parents, and they've been brainwashed. More people don't do this type of looting and rioting that they've been doing and hating their fellow
men. White people loot and riot over sports games outcomes. As for black-on-black crime, the reason why – I don't know if there are any studies on how much hate is in the heart of a black person. I do know there are studies on what the drug war has done to black communities. When these black-on-black crimes happen, it's not because black people hate black people because they're all dumb or whatever. It's because they have a vested economic interest in defending the drugs that they sell to make a living in their impoverished neighborhoods.
You've been brainwashed, Bosh.
All of this is sociologically uncontested. This happened following the 1960s. The people who designed the drug war specifically said they were doing it to gut the black
because I heard all this BS before.
But it's true. It's true. Can I finish with one sentence? I'll finish with one sentence.
Yeah.
I agree. We got to pay attention to both issues. And thankfully, black people are already doing both those things.
Not a good job at it because Black Lives Matter is what continues to get most of the press. And so it's like when you're talking about a national organization that is funded, I think the recent endowment was $100 million recently in this election. It's funny that they really only trend right before elections, which shows you how much people really care about black lives.
All political organizations.
I'm saying just enough to use them for each election. But that being said,
Are you saying who's using them?
I'm talking about Black Lives Matter begins to trend, and you see this huge resurgence in their activism right before an election. And I'm saying if they were truly political but if the case is that this is a yearly problem, then it's not because of George Floyd. Because if black people are being killed all the time, then why does George Floyd suddenly matter? If this is happening,
because his death blew up. We had this happen before, and it was during Barack Obama's term. Black Lives Matter started. It did because that was the inciting incident.
This weird claim.
You can't simultaneously make this claim towards the insincerity of the organization, but also say they're trying to destroy Western cultural.
I'm not claiming they're trying. I'm quoting their website.
What's destroying Western society?
They're trying to break down the new. They don't believe in the nuclear family. They believe in tribalism.
Find me a quote.
I'll go right now. You can keep going, Jesse.
I'm black and slow. I've had both of you on the Fallen State before. You guys are speaking too fast for me.
I think you're doing great, Jesse.
But James is coming in, the Hake Report. Have you guys heard of the Hake Report?
I have. I've had the pleasure.
Right on. He's coming in with some questions for you. The Hake Report is on Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. Pacific time. But I want to ask you this, Vosh. Mm-hmm. Do you condemn the looters and arsonists?
I think that, I don't. I think they're a natural product of social conditions. We got to fix those conditions.
Should celebrities be bailing these people out of jail?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we should be paying bail.
And is it true that you raised $18,000 for Black Lives Matter protests?
Yeah, I threw $2,000 in there myself just to cap it off at $20,000.
What do you say? That's amazing. What do you say to that, Elijah?
Hey, I say if you put your money where your mouth is, hopefully if your mouth is in the right place, then I'm all for Americans using their money that they work for to do what matters to them. So.
But do you condemn the looters and arsonists?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the word thugs is the wrong word. These are criminal people. I mean, yes. And you look at them, a lot of these piece, if we can't make a dichotomy and look at the difference between looters and rioters and protesters, then it's actually kind of racist, because the protests actually are predominantly this move for Black lives. And if you say that Black people can't make their voice heard without raising crime rates in cities and destroying their cities, to me that implicates Black people on a very low level of expectation. And I you say white allies too, I'll throw that in there, or just people for the Black cause of civil rights. I mean, I really don't believe that. And I think Black people are a lot stronger and better. And I really think if we don't make a separation between this, I want to remind you that real protesting doesn't actually lead to arrests unless in very bad cases. And I go to protests as a full-time job. And when I watch people get arrested, it's for a number of reasons. They either they fail to leave an unlawful assembly, they agitate police officers, they cross police boundaries, they literally commit acts of violence, they loot. I don't see people holding signs, standing there, talking on microphones, just getting arrested. I've never seen
videos of people being pulled out of crowds and arrested just for shit talking the police officers, which is their
I just said
legal
agitating
right.
The police. Well, yeah, and I'm not. Hey,
no, whoa,
you know
whoa,
what?
Whoa,
fine.
Wait, are you defending
Hold up. No, I just said that the only time I've seen something happen is when they're agitating. I didn't say legally justified. I'm just saying I don't ever watch people who are minding their own business get arrested. I do see people get unfairly arrested. If you want to argue if police brutality exists, yes, it does. If you want to add to the fact that police brutality, Jesse, it does exist, but it's not as widespread of an issue as people believe that it is. I'm telling you, and it affects all races. I'm saying that there are people, and I've been at protests. I've been hit by officers. I've been sprayed in the face and maced by them after showing them my journalistic license. I'm saying that to mace a journalist after telling you I'm a journalist and showing your ID is kind of bizarre. It's kind of uncalled for.
I don't disagree with that. I just want to jump in and say there have been a lot of, I mean, we see like literal videos of this happening, of agitation being all that's needed for an arrest, which is obviously a violation of the constitutional rights of the protesters, but also it's a tactic.
I'll back you up on that. I will back you up on that. 100%.
It's also a tactic for police to put protesters in positions where they kind of have to be arrested, where police will sandwich people into like narrow blocks where the only way for them out is either through the police or through a narrow alley line.
Riot control.
Riot control. But what the purpose of that is to break up riots and to arrest as many people as possible, which as far as I'm concerned is also a violation of our First Amendment. It's all well and good to have a right to protest on paper.
Are you Jewish?
What does that have to do with anything, Jesse?
Both of you guys speak fast like my Jewish guests do when I have them on.
No, I'm not Jewish, Jesse, but I have Jewish family.
Oh, I like latkes a lot. The potato pancakes, they're really good. Maybe I'm like 1/8, you know, if you go far enough.
My Jewish family's far left. My Jewish family are really, really radical left-wing people. So.
Hell yeah.
I heard that most Jews are far left liberals. Is that true, Elisha?
I mean, I would say that's the stigma, but I also could relate that to being that a lot of Jews are concentrated in New York City and Los Angeles in the United States, which are inherently just liberal areas. So.
Most, I think the Jewish community in America is disproportionately left, which makes sense because culturally they know what it feels like to live under conservative rule. I think they tend to be pretty left-leaning. Most of the Zionists in America are actually like Protestants, interestingly enough. There's a really weird like geopolitical thing.
When you raise that money for this violent protest and riot that's happening, Vosh, and would you be okay if they gave some of that money to the looters and the ones who were stealing and killing and all that as well?
Towards their bail funds? Yes, because they'll still be going to trial. Whoa. Towards like them personally? Probably not, no.
Who do you say that, Elisha?
You know, I just cannot criticize an individual using their money in the way they want to. The idea of it is madness to me, but if I didn't fight for the rights of people to do things that I disagree with, then I don't know what the hell America really would be.
Can I ask a quick question? Because I'm genuinely curious. It's not a bait.
Yes.
You know, because that's my argument. Like rioting and looting, it's not good. We don't want it. This hurts the communities that these people live in. But it tends to be like a natural product of really bad injustice that isn't dealt with, or when people feel that they're not like getting listened to. So if a community was starved for a really long time, food shortage, I don't know, a famine, and they like, I don't know, they went crazy. They like break into local like marts or like food trucks passing through the neighborhood. Like people get hurt. They steal as much food as they can. I just want to say, I don't approve of the stealing or the looting or the what have you, but I recognize like given the conditions they were placed under,
They were placed under in a condition. They brought the elements themselves.
you stole a GoPro display case. I saw a video because you were oppressed. It's like, I don't know about that, man. I don't know if the first thing you do is to loot Target when you're oppressed.
Looting happens every time there are riots.
You're not going to steal a TV if you're hungry.
I think looters are just thieves. I mean, I don't think they are thieves.
I don't know
if those are the people. And I think to conflate the two is sort of an injustice because then it's going, well, there are people out there actually being hijacked by these people, which, by the way, I want to give you the quote from their website. They said on blacklivesmatter.com that we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. So they're disrupting Western prescriptions of culture, nuclear family structure requirement by supporting as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially the children, to the degree that the parents or children or mothers are comfortable. Foster queer affirming network. When we gather, we do this with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that in all the world we are heterosexuals. And so I think ultimately the biggest problem the black community has is the 77% and rising fatherlessness rate in the community. Cause I used to work for inner city schools, you know, and I was a part of, I'm not going to say the organization because I don't want to implicate them, but a very liberal organization. One thing that we learned about when we were teaching was that more than skin color, two factors were large determinants in the performance of a student. And one of those was just IQ, which is interesting. And people from the alt-right to the alt-left, people have, you know, their arguments about, you know, how IQ is so important or not. But ultimately,
It is important, but it's downstream of other factors.
Right. Well, that's what I'm bringing up. But one of the more interesting factors that they brought up was that, you know, especially when a young boy doesn't have a father in the home, it can negatively, I don't want to say how high because I don't have the studies in front of me, but it can greatly impact their development and their IQ. And so I don't believe in people who make these, you know, just race-based IQ and just generalizations about people and these people. Some of them are true. I mean, they say Ashkenazi Jews are smarter than all of us. Who knows? But that's just what people say.
Well, they're all in New York, so, you know.
I'm just bringing this down, you know. So when you look at real systemic racism and you talk about this idea of there's a system that somehow is causing fathers to not stick around and kids not to be born into wedded relationships, and that can be a huge generationally. Think about that. If one kid doesn't have a father, then his kid doesn't have a father.
I don't disagree.
I mean, I don't know the effects.
Yeah, having
on the
a one parent household is like unviable. Like in this country, like it just doesn't work. Having a one parent household, it's not
right,
sufficient.
But I'm just saying
you
that,
can't.
But that's a system to me. Is like going. That's weird to me. Like when I hear that it's 77%, I'm telling you, I have to always check the percentage regularly because I don't believe it, and I have to find. I'm always looking for new studies and new things. So I'm going. There's got to be a lie, and I look for variations. Like, oh, that one's 72%. I'm going, shoot,
it's true, but we can fix that if we stop. Well, first of all,
you
the disproportion.
Can't fix it. They need to fix it. You can't.
We can all fix it together,
no,
and
can't.
I agree. Everyone is responsible. Everyone's responsible because the state and city and precinct policies do affect a lot of the economic conditions that go
Who
into this.
Who is responsible for you, Vash?
I mean, who's responsible for my actions?
Who is
or?
Responsible for you?
Me?
And your actions.
Wait, can I clarify something?
How about your actions?
Myself?
So why blacks need special attention?
If we want to fix problems, we have to recognize that one of the vehicles through which we can do this is legislation. We can't just like tell
why
people to
be better.
Why do blacks
need to be legislated? How come they can't
Everyone
take
does.
Care of themselves? What's wrong? Oh, let me ask you this, Vash. Do blacks have lower IQs than normal people or higher?
What is a normal person?
White people.
Why are whites normal? There are less white people on Earth than black people.
Do blacks have lower IQ than whites or higher?
They would be lower. Why do you think that is?
Because they're dummies.
You just think they're dumber genetically?
Yeah, because look at how they act.
I think
that's
a really sad way to think of yourself,
So
Jesse.
Let me ask you this. Would you ever kneel down to black people and apologize?
I would. For what?
Because the moment you disagree with their advice, you're going to have to kneel. Would you kneel down to them?
I disagree with black people. I literally just 2 weeks ago got in massive trouble in the black community for arguing with some of their members. No, I don't. I don't apologize for any of my beliefs.
Would you kneel to the blacks?
No.
How about you, Elijah? Would you kneel to the blacks?
Who? Why?
I don't.
It's a very weird place to take this conversation.
Well, is
this
because they're making the whites and then officers and everybody kneel. Would you kneel,
making,
Elijah?
I would tell you this. They're not making, because this is a key factor.
No, they're like, kneel. Get on your knee. Kneel.
But you only do it by your choice. Unless they're literally, I've watched them really guilt people. And I think it's just people don't ascertain what's really going on. And they're kneeling, realizing you don't owe anything to the black community in terms of having to bow down or get on a knee as if it means anything. In fact, in America, you damn well don't really have to do much of anything if anyone asks you.
I'm not advocating for people.
No, not you. I'm not saying you. I just want to say people don't.
Hey. Elijah, would you kneel, get on your knees for Black Lives Matter?
Can I say it in Spanish?
Yeah, sí.
No.
How about you, Vosh? Would you kneel for Black Lives Matter? Yes or no?
I've got bad knees. No.
Oh, good.
You got bad knees. That's so good. I have bad knees. I actually have bad knees too. And
look, listen. Yeah. This isn't a race thing. It's not about making white or black people pay for each other's sins. It's a fact. If we want to look at the average level of criminality, the average level of marriage stability, that kind of stuff in white neighborhoods that have been affected by severe socioeconomic changes over the past 80 years, we'll see that increases in positive policy lead to individuals in those areas making better decisions.
I gotta do this.
It is a fact of the matter that people make predictable decisions based on the environments they're placed in. Everything that I am came in large part because I was born in a wealthy neighborhood. So, I am lucky.
I was born into a poor family. I'm just going to say that. I lived next to a gang. We qualified for food stamps. I'm just going to point this out there. All of the kids make significantly more, well, at least not my little sister yet, but they make significantly more than my parents do, because my mom taught me early on taught us all about being entrepreneurs, and she homeschooled us and they really invested in us. And that's that's where I said that the family is really important, not the money even, because we didn't have money. We really didn't have money. My mom, we didn't even have money for buns, and she would cut up hot dogs and she would tell us they were Costco free.
Yeah, exactly. We believed her. Hey, incredibly important.
Elijah, I saw your mother in the welfare line with me one day getting yellow cheese.
Swing and a miss, Jesse. Listen, family is important. We know for a fact that the strength of families in certain neighborhoods tracks with other conditions in those neighborhoods.
So let me
not
ask you
all
this.
Of those conditions can be affected by policy, but some can. I want to focus on what I can fix.
Let me do this because of time. Vosh, I got to ask. I was born on a plantation, grew up under Jim Crow laws, down in Alabama. Our toilet was outside. I had to pick cotton. I had to hoe, not with a hoe, but I hoed. And I had to do all that. I'm doing very well in life. Why is it that I am able to succeed, but the blacks who were born after the civil rights movement are complaining and whining? Is that due to their low IQ, Vosh?
Well, you're also a single parent household, right? You don't have a wife right now, so maybe that's the outcome of all those years of disprivilege.
Most of them don't have wives or husbands either.
No, well, that's my argument. Having bad early outcomes means you might not be able to keep the marriage partner down the line.
So is it because blacks have low IQ?
Absolutely not, no.
You do agree that their IQ are lower than the normal people.
Yeah, and the height of North Koreans is lower than the height of South Koreans. Is that amazing. Genetics or is it environmental?
So let me
conditions?
Do this really fast, guy. I got to bring Hank on because he want to ask you guys a few questions. I know you've been on his show, Vosh, but Elijah, you have not yet, but you will. Oh, you're going on his show. So
I kind of get left out of the YouTube community because I don't like – this is not like a comparison, this or that, but I kind of just – broadcast and work on podcasting and such, and you know, grow downloads and try to, you know, just go on like I guess other broadcast shows. I love the YouTube community. I miss what it used to be when it used to be where we would keep each other in check, like when I first started and people wanted to debate and talk. But now, unfortunately, that was really beneficial to channels because like the algorithms worked. If I had Vosh on my channel, then my video would get picked up in his algorithms, right, and our audiences would get. But now it's like, it doesn't, you have anybody on. I can even have a vice president on. I know someone who did, and the video got 20,000 views. So it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't
I just stick to appealing to the radical left trans Antifa crowd.
Here's James. Here's James Hake of the Hake Report. He has
Let's
some
do it.
Questions for you guys.
The Hakester.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Hello, Hate Report.
Go down lower. So I have three questions for you. One, President Trump has wanted to deal with the social media censorship of, you know, of free speech. And I know that both of you guys really believe in free speech. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Are you guys going to work with Trump to promote free speech over Twitter and YouTube and all these people?
Trump's proposed legislation would destroy free speech. It would be the greatest blow against free speech in the history of this country. So I will be working against him in every conceivable way a YouTuber can, which is to say I'll be making videos on it and complaining.
I mean, the White House reached out. I met some people from the White House about this. I've talked to them. You know, the White House obviously gives credits probably more to right-wing YouTubers than Vosh. I'm sure they're not asking. The White House isn't reaching out to him for comment on the way that he's being affected. You know, I think that it's just important legislation-wise. I don't think it's the president per se. I think executive orders can be very dangerous, and I'm very weary of them, even when Trump uses them. But I think that when the legislature could come together and define more properly the difference between platforms and different businesses, and whether one day, and I don't know this, and I'm not this would be my far, this is my far left side speaking, Vosh, is you know, if they end up becoming you know, utilities, I don't know what's going to happen in the future and how vital things are going to become, especially during times of crisis. You know, the government tends to expand, take power. It's very normal, and right now there's not very much difference between establishment Republicans and Democrats. So I could see this going one of many directions, because I think the queer community, right, the LGBT gets censored probably as much as political people. So
on TikTok, ugly people get their channels deleted. Isn't that wild?
Which is actually true. Yeah. And they throttle down the ugly people. But I know people that go on TikTok just to watch ugly people, because it's like a circus.
Yeah, but that sucks. That, like, how am I going to get a TikTok started? You know, where I'm being batted out of the market.
Yeah, I was gonna say, actually, that's really good too. That's why I go for the audio downloads on my show. I'm trying to grow them, because I feel like people watching me, it's like I wouldn't watch me either.
All right,
are you for Vosh? Are you for them being a utility? the social media company.
Oh, this is such a complicated issue. Let me think. Okay, on one hand, I do think it is untenable that at this moment, public advocacy is limited behind the rules of private corporations. I do think that is an issue. The idea, like, right now, the public commons means nothing. If you get banned off Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, if you got banned off everything, you have no voice. It's done. You can't do anything anymore. So that's an issue. At the same time, I am concerned that the move to a utility would enable certain groups of people to manipulate discourse in a way that might not be favorable to the health of this country's inhabitants. I think it's an almost impossible subject for me to discuss. I would need, like, a law degree. I think change is needed. I just don't know which direction, to be honest.
Do you want them to be a utility, Elijah?
You know, this is where the left and the right actually start to meet up pretty closely, because this is where it gets difficult to know. I mean, it's like the railroads back in the day. You know, it's like, well, I mean, we need the railroads for trade. And if someone just owns all the railroads, keeps spiking the prices, it kind of ruins the ability for people to trade. But then there's always the argument of, like, yeah, but just if it's going to, you know, collapse, it'll collapse and it'll restart itself, like the libertarians would say. So I think I fall somewhere a little bit more towards a centrist on this one, where I don't think enough time has gone by to know what to do. And I think it's fair if commentators sometimes would just shut the hell up and say, I don't think we know that yet.
It's really complex. Oh, can I actually say one thing? I think the smartest, enlightened centrist answer right now would be to do what we've done with metropolitan companies, which is to say that we should define these internet companies that allow for social media in a very strict and stringent way that allows for much tighter regulations, so they aren't as
monolithic in their discourse, you know, control as they are now. Maybe that could be like a temporary answer.
Speaking of centrism, Jesse Lee Peterson founded a centrist group in the prior interview, centrist organization called White Lives Matter. Are you guys going to join White Lives Matter?
I love all people. I think White Lives Matter too.
Right. Huh?
I don't need to tell, I don't need to prove that. I don't need to know. Oh, well, White Lives Matter. I won't join, but I think it's fair to promote it. I don't need anyone to accept me and tell me I matter. I matter. So
but what about the other whites? Some of the other whites don't. They don't feel like they matter.
They're getting arrested for being white or something.
Are they going to join? I'm not going to join White Lives Matter.
Not standing up for the whites. Here's my main curiosity, though. Like, you guys remember the straight pride parade?
I was there.
Jesse was there.
Yeah, that was actually organized and largely signal boosted by neo-Nazis.
One in Modesto, California, and one in the East Coast, I guess.
I think it was the California one. I covered the
Boston one was the one that had like 10,000. Was crazy. I covered it. I created like massive video coverage of that one. That was crazy.
Nice. The point that I'm trying to get at is that I know plenty of straight folk, you know, I don't have an issue with them. It seems like though, when the Straight Lives Matter thing got announced, a lot of really far right groups got really, really excited because they used it as a platform to advocate for views that have nothing to do with straight people. And that's what I'd be worried about White Lives Matter. Cause I see people saying White Lives Matter online, mostly alongside them calling for a white ethno state, the genocide or deportation of black and brown people. We just need to be careful about which groups saddle along.
Well, you know that Jesse Lee Peterson founded it, so you know it's going to be centrist and fair.
Oh, 100%. There's no Jesse Lee Peterson gives no curtailing whatsoever to white nationalist groups. I know that for a fact. So it's going to be smooth sailing the whole way through.
Okay, last thing. We all know that all these protests are really dumb, and they're talking about police reform. We need black reform. We have to deal with black brutality. And we need to deal with, you know, the black family issue. Both of you guys agree. What do you propose for black reform?
Easy answer. Easiest answer in my life. More guns. I take the conservative approach. A more armed society is a safer society. We need the Black Panther Party back, the real one, the one from the 1960s. I want to see black folks in berets with ARs standing outside every single courthouse in Detroit, in Chicago. I want to see them lining up. I want them following police cars. I think that's step one. Then they can go back to their community breakfasts. Unironically, that helped out the people in Chicago quite a bit back in the day. So that's my answer. I'm taking the conservative route on this one. More guns.
Elijah?
Yeah, and then you have white armed white nationalist groups, just like the black nationalist groups following the black nationalists. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Like a clown car following the whole neighborhood.
I don't know if extremist groups following what some people call the greatest cartel in America, the Universal Police. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I will say this. I think it's time for, and this is really hard because I would say this without bringing up the fact that a lot of these extreme groups that are unbalanced are getting a lot of the funding. So it's really, really scary. But I think that the ultimate reform is going to come long-term by the black community becoming less reliant on the government and our culture stop feeling like they need to solve black people's problems for them. Because I believe in like actually with Vosh saying about arming people, I believe communities should solve their own issues. I think that if there's truly national
get
systems,
them police out of there.
If there's actually national systems and state systems, that's true. But considering the fact that most police sheriffs and police and sheriff chiefs are elected, not to mention a lot of police are locally elected, the leaders of the police, city council are locally elected, the mayors are locally elected. And when you see the people who are leading and organizing these areas, it's like when I look at police brutality, it's the biggest issues are in longstanding Democrat-controlled areas with Democrat, with even with people of color running the police department, with predominantly minority-run police departments. And you're going Los Angeles, New York, Minneapolis, Chicago, I mean, these are St. Louis, Detroit. I mean, these are Democrats up to the top, Seattle, Portland. And it's like, that's where the problems are at. Well, then the system might be part of the party. And I think that Sean King is a bit right on some of these things where the Democrats are taking for granted people's votes. They don't care about them. And when the community realizes that that you're not, by getting free stuff, they are taking you for granted by giving that to you. Yeah. And by giving that opportunity, and that by people trying to solve black people's problems, you're actually creating an institutionalized issue. So I do believe in systemic racism in that regard.
But I'm
I think
about
that
they weren't
trying
anyways,
to solve
we end it.
Oh,
we got to Jesse.
All right. They weren't trying to solve black people's problems, the Dems. They were just benefiting from electoral patterns. But a black police officer don't fix police racism.
We've all been talking
racism.
About black violence and black brutality.
We've been talking
that.
About you, Jesse, and how you're the one good black.
But that's right. But listen, July is White History Month. This year, we're celebrating our third year of White History Month. I started it 2 years ago. Come 3 years next month. And I started in July because July just feels white. Will you guys celebrate that July?
Can I celebrate my ancestry?
So what?
Can I celebrate my ancestry?
Only if they're white.
Oh, yeah. No, my Polish whites, they fought and died fighting the Nazi occupation back during World War II.
Well, no.
So I'll celebrate my white history by fighting Nazis online.
Will you celebrate, Elijah?
I mean, I'm really big on U.S. history, and I don't think that it's weird to have. I don't think it would be weird to have a White History Month. I don't like identity politics history months, but I definitely 4th of July is a big part of my family. My wife's from Australia. This is our first big 4th of July that we're going to be throwing a party out here in Texas. There's going to be people of all different colors, sexual orientations.
Will
and
you
religious
celebrate
beliefs.
White History Month?
So that's what I'm saying. So if that's the month, and if that's what you say it is, I will be celebrating and looking at my culture in July. So I guess.
So you will celebrate with us. Will you celebrate
well,
with us?
I didn't hear about it. White History Month is a real thing?
It's a real thing. This is the third year of celebration of White History Month in July.
All right. All right. Black History Month, White History Month.
Will you celebrate White History Month with us, Elijah?
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying, yeah. Let's
what about
do it.
Asian? Wait, do the Asians have a, do they have a month in this?
Or? Yeah, that's June. That's one. June. When they graduate, all the, when they graduate.
What about the
Hispanics? All the colleges.
I hope they
oh,
never
that's
get,
a good one.
Well, we have a Mexican month.
Cinco de Mayo, I thought, right?
That's not a
Cinco
month.
Cinco de Mayo.
Taco somebody. Tuesday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Taco Tuesday is for white people.
Let me say that was hate. Let me, for the folks who don't know, they need to join Hate Show on Monday through Friday. Monday through Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. TheHateReport.com. I need you guys to answer really fast for me. And by the way, Elijah, last time I saw you, you had purple hair. What happened to it?
You had purple
hair?
Yeah, no. Yeah, 100%. You got to look. You should look at how I used to look. I had nose piercing, too, and earrings and hair. I was, born and raised in L.A., so I looked like I was from L.A. Then I met a woman. I overcame my mother, like you would say. I started making real money. I started fighting for real causes and actually becoming a man.
Right
so
on.
I used to call I was a queer, but not in the traditional sense, but I was a bit – I wasn't a real man then.
You said
I
was
a
boy.
Bitch? Yeah, I was a bitch. I was a beta bitch. And over
beta
time
–
and over time, I've become an alpha bitch.
Yeah, where are the alpha queers at? You see them at pride parades, the 7-foot-tall giga chads with the rippling muscles and the sunglasses. They're out there. They're watching.
So
maybe
I need
not
you guys
this
to answer really quickly for me. I'm putting you in the hot seat. And so we're going to go back and forth real fast. All right. So I got to ask you, Vice, are you a beta bitch as well?
No, I'm an alpha bitch.
Ooh, well, why
I like
do you
that
have a ponytail?
I'm taking that.
Why do you have a ponytail like a beta bitch?
Yeah, I got, you know why? Because the Greeks and the Romans, my white ancestors, used to wear their hair long so it would flow gloriously in battle, the sun catching on the brown hair. I'm repping my ancestors, Mike.
Say hello to your girlfriend for me. I know I met her the last time you were here. Say hello for me, all right?
Yeah, she liked meeting you very much.
Yeah, I know. So let's go back and forth really fast.
The Hot Seat.
Do you prefer blondes or brunettes? Either one.
Elijah, you want to go first?
Ooh. Depends on the skin color. If they're tanned, blonde. If they're pale, brunette.
Interesting. I think I'm brunette across the board for the most part.
Who has more control of the news media in America, the left or the right? Either one of you.
Billionaires.
If I can step out, I'd say billionaires as well. I think I have to agree with that.
Do you believe it's possible to live forever?
I think eternal life. Yeah, I think our souls are eternal. Our spirit's eternal.
I don't know if we're ever going to get there technologically, but I'd like to live that I could live forever through, you know, my children, their children.
Have you ever been fat?
Yeah, baby. I've actually lost a lot of weight lately, so I don't have much time left to answer this in the affirmative, but yeah.
Yeah, I was just fat from the COVID, and then I fat shamed myself because fat shaming works. And then now I'm still a little bit chubby, but I've dropped 20 pounds since December.
Doesn't work, but I accept it. Congrats on your weight loss.
Is Joe Biden prejudiced against blacks?
I love black people.
His policies, Joe Biden's policies, are not in favor of black people. So if we're talking about real criminal justice reform, I think it would start by trying to rework what probably Joe Biden is largely, at least a monolith, responsible for. He also definitely is not, there's nothing in his career that shows that he's pro-black. I mean, he's been in Senate. I mean, he's been the vice president. He's been around forever. And now he's going to fight, now that he's mentally incapacitated, he's suddenly going to solve the issues of the black community. All the power to him.
I'm not enthusiastic about Joe Biden at all. I'm voting for him because he's better than Trump. That's it. I'm more invested in direct action. We'll see if we can't cook up some more protests come 2021. If we can't bully Biden out of office.
Was the Chinese virus a hoax?
Yeah. I think that the information that was given about the danger to certain populations, saying that it's a pandemic for all ages, is not true. I think that it was certain populations at risk, and we were lied to in terms of how it was transmissible. In terms of that there was all these asymptomatic people. It wasn't a hoax, but I think it was misrepresented with half truths.
The Chinese virus was a hoax. COVID-19 is real, though.
It's the same thing. Are women more or less happier today as a result of feminism?
Far less.
I think everyone's less happier today. The pattern tracks across men as well. I don't think we have a good answer for how men and women are supposed to treat each other right now. I think feminism has left an incomplete answer. I want to work on that.
I think men are unhappy too, by the way. I think universally genders are unhappy because of feminism.
Who is the most corrupt president in U.S. history? Vosh.
Dude, that's a tough one. Would it have to be Jackson? I'll just take the easy one. Yeah, Trump. Why not? Go ahead. Clip me. I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't know. Andrew Jackson was pretty much an asshole and a genocidal freak, but I mean, LBJ was a racist too and enslaved the black community in the modern era. So I would pick one of those, but also I'm not as smart as you, Jesse, so I probably don't remember my fourth grade history that well.
Obama was the most.
You remember Obama, right?
Obama's the Antichrist, Vosh. You know that. He came from hell. He smells like sulfur.
Thank you. I rest my case. So without Judeo-Christian morality, is it possible to have a truly free society?
Yeah, I think it makes it easier.
I think atheism only works for at least two generations. And I think down term, I think that if you don't worship something, you'll worship anything. And I think it leads to chaos. And I don't believe in Judeo. I don't believe in Judeo-Christianity because I think Judeo beliefs focus on the law and not justification and this internal, it's a very outward. And I think it's very much aligned with Eastern tradition. But I think, the Protestant or evangelical work ethic and also outlook on life is very beneficial to our society. But also, I think a lot of evangelical and Christian people are batshit crazy. And I think some of them too really are blinded just like the far left because they're in their bubbles and echo chambers.
Will you vote for this November, Elijah?
Donald Trump.
How about you, Vosh?
I'm riding with Biden, baby, all the way, 2020. Then we kick him out in 2021. We're going to get that guy impeached.
He dies. He dies.
We're going to bowl him into a heart attack. Absolutely. Yeah. You should get him on your program sometime, JLP. That would be a conversation that I would be willing to pay for.
That would be amazing.
Pay $100. I would pay-per-view that.
Oh, easily.
That would be amazing. Vosh, let me ask, do you love white people?
I love white people.
How about you, Elijah?
Yeah, I married to one.
Do you love Jews?
Yeah. I love
Jews. Or non-white.
I don't know a lot. I don't know a ton of Jews. My old producer was a Jewish person, and Jewish people have a really, really strong culture, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Great food.
Yeah.
Last two questions. What is a man?
Elijah, you want to? I got to think of a funny answer. Elijah, you want to go first?
It's these simple questions that are the most philosophical. A man is somebody who separates himself from his mother and his father, learns to take responsibility and protection of a woman, procreates if he can biologically fertile and produce offspring and raise them up in the ways of God and in the values of in this case, I believe, Western Christian identity.
Vash.
A man is someone with the strength of character to look at what society expects of them and say, no, I'm going to do my own thing. No matter how that ends up working out, whether or not they choose to wear suits or wear dresses or what have you, I think that it's the willingness to defy social expectation.
Men don't wear dresses. They don't.
Yeah, because you're just worried. Yeah, because you're worried how you'll look in one. The men who do wear dresses, they slap that on. The confidence begin.
I wore a dress to a protest one time to see if they would attack a trans person because I self-identified for a day just as an experiment. I'll tell you what. I didn't look good. I couldn't do it. Your soul
wasn't into it because you weren't really trans. If you actually accepted deep in your heart, the transformation takes place, and then people know
my boobs weren't big enough to fill out the chest. So.
What is love? Also a problem. What is love, guys?
I have to take a second to think of a funny answer here.
I think love comes from God, and it is defined absolutely as selflessness and aligning yourself with the standards of what the Bible teaches. That's really what I believe in a personal way, but in love socially, I think love is learning to really look out for the needs of others, even when it's inconvenient for yourself. So,
wow.
I mean, that's not funny, but it's true.
Yeah. I think love is the willingness to sacrifice parts of yourself to preserve a relationship that you have with someone or something and for their benefit, I think.
Amazing.
And the many ways that can take shape.
Did you have fun?
Every time, always.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta have me. You gotta have me back on for some more fun segments because especially when LA, I'm gonna hit you up next time I'm in LA so we can do something because I'll be out there pretty. I'll be out there in the next few months.
So. Absolutely. Be sure to do that. So, how can people watch you guys' YouTube channels and podcasts?
I'm Vosh on YouTube and I have a website, which is just vosh.gg. I'm a little out of it today. I did a 12-hour stream yesterday to celebrate hitting 100,000 subs. So I guess.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It was exhausting, but we made it through. We survived. And, just down on YouTube and that's pretty much it.
That's really good. 100,000 is a really,
that's amazing.
That feels really, really good.
Big number.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that is a big number. It's a lot of people. And, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at youtube.com/slightlyoffensive. You can also find a lot of extra content on Blaze TV. But if you want to get regular Twitter updates, I'm pretty prolific on Twitter in terms of writing, doing a lot more content there. So you can find me at Elijah Schaefer or Facebook or anywhere else where you can access censored information.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming on. That was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And we'll definitely have you back. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Right. Reverend Peterson, Mr. Schaefer, thank you both so much. I really appreciate it and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was amazing. Hey,
thank you guys, too. I've never spoken to a communist and a white supremacist black man at the same time. Very interesting.
An Oreo cookie.
Yeah, he calls you the communist. You call him the black white supremacist. I love it. I'll take both of your. That's it. Those titles are gifts.
Jesse loves white people, and I do too.
That's right.
Fun camaraderie there.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And I love you both. Have a good one.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, and also our store. Support our store as well. I absolutely appreciate it. Patreon, click the link in the description to support our work. Let me hear from you. That was an amazing show. If there's anyone you guys like to see on, make sure you let the producer know. Producer at thefallenstate.tv.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Welcome back. We are now on the set. So listen, you have attended 9 sex parties.
Last summer. I think now I've attended more.
You do psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I see these colors and the music sound like
jamming and the rocks and things start moving. You said women bodies are objectified.
Oh, objectified. Like a random guy on the street yelling graphic things to you, that would be, or like sending you a dick pic online.
Sending you a what?
Dick pic?
A dick pic?
You haven't heard that term?
No.
I don't know. They just think their dick's the greatest thing in the world.
What the? You seem so shy.
It's the shy ones you have to watch out for.
Watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.